30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Life Matters, a 5-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin. Hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Nancy. He's Tom. I realize I don't really kind of introduce ourselves at the beginning of the show, but that's because I feel like everybody that listens knows us.
Well, we know each other, so kind of makes it easier.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, so last week we did in the snow, in fact, cut down the trees
that I
hated in front of my new house in Elkhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that I have strangers coming up to me.
At the house?
No.
Oh.
In general.
Oh, really?
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Home Depot the other day.
Okay.
And I was looking to see if, you know, the window on the very top that's just covered with plywood right now. I promise Elkhorn, I'm trying to get it replaced. It's such an eyesore. I feel terrible.
Yeah, but that house has come a long way already, so I'm sure they understand.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I just want it to be pretty for them. So, and pretty for me.
Right.
But I was in Home Depot, and I asked this guy, I think his name was Rudy, and I said, so I'm looking for a window, and I just don't know if this is a standard size or whatever, and I had to get something else, so I'm stopping in and looking at windows, and he said, what size is it? And it's, as best I could measure it with the plywood on it, I think it's 24 by 28. And so we kind of looked a little bit, and he's like, now, what is this window for? Like, you know, could it have been
different.
Another style or whatever, you know, since he couldn't find that size. So I said, I showed him a picture, and he goes, where is this house? And I said, it's in Elkhorn. And he goes, on Church Street?
The hoarder house?
I was like, yes. And he goes, oh, we're neighbors. I live right around the corner from you on Walworth Street.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, my God. So he went to church with the former owner. And and
small
he's like,
world.
You know, she doesn't come to church anymore. And I was like, well, she doesn't live there anymore.
Right.
So I have people like, and he's like, you cut those shrubs down. And I said, yes, I did. And he's like, it looks great. Like everybody.
Yeah, it totally changes the look of the house.
I was,
without question.
I was checking the mail the other day, and I turned around to walk down off the porch because I was not staying. I just ran to check the mail, and I didn't have anything else to do there. And I turned around, and the Elkhorn, like, DPW guy, like the city of Elkhorn guys, were driving by in a white truck, and they're like waving at me. They're like, good job. We don't have to come there and give her a violation notice anymore.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
So, but I've been telling people that, just give me a minute. Just, I promise.
Better things are coming.
Right. And so the latest one was, I had to go get some records from the Elkhorn PD for something completely different, a different event
thing.
Project. Right. And so I'm talking to the lady and I don't even know how we got on the subject.
Teresa?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even
know. Very nice lady.
Love her.
Oh yeah. She's
don't
awesome.
Even know how we got on the subject, but I told her, I said, well, we're getting ready to move and into our house as soon as we get it done. It's right around the corner here. And she goes, what? The yellow house? I was like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, oh my gosh, how is it? How is it in there? And I'm like, well, it's fine now. I mean, it's torn
getting
apart.
Better. Right.
It's getting there, but everybody knows this house. So now I feel like all this pressure because I'm like, they're really looking forward to it being so much better. And I want to do it for the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, I heard they got pools
as
going.
Can. Yeah, on how long it takes
right.
me.
When right, probably. When is the open house is going to be? When.
Right. Well, I told her as soon as it's warm enough, anybody can come and talk to me that wants to say hi or stop by and bring me a bottle of water or something, because I'm going to be sitting in that yard with a little hand shovel, like a little, you know, what do they call them? The little hand
little
things.
Little spade, yeah.
Yeah.
Little garden shovel.
And digging out the ferns. There are 750,000 ferns
see,
in that yard.
I'm thinking we get like a mini axe and I'll dig it all out for you.
No, it's...
Just go in there with a backhoe, tear it out, get it over with.
But
why
I
play
don't
around?
Need to do that.
Well, you want to spend all summer digging with your 3-inch wide shovel?
Well, yes, I do.
Are you
okay? Just like I want to spend all summer with my 3-inch wide scraper getting all the glue off the original wood floor, which is my other project that I'm doing.
You don't want to do that.
But I have to.
Well, yeah.
But I also found, so get this. I now all my Facebook feed is nothing but gardening and interior design mm-hmm. and furniture and historical furniture things, you know, like all of that.
Right.
That's all it is. And I simply said to myself out loud one day, I should really follow some things like that on Facebook. And
They're
all
listening.
Of a sudden, it's all that was.
They're listening.
So there are these hostas. Now, yes, hostas can get out of control. Don't.
You want hostas?
Don't.
We got hostas.
Do you have red and white ones?
We'll have to check with Amy. We have the purple ones.
No, like the leaves are red and white.
Yeah, she's got different ones up front. You'll have to talk to her because she's got to do thinning anyways.
I can't. I mean, I'm going to need some anyway.
Well, she's got to thin irises. She got to thin hostages.
Hostages? Again?
I'm having a rough morning.
Look, we told you to let those guys go.
No,
the work
I will not.
In the garage is done. Let the hostages
let
go.
Let the hostages go. But no, she's got firecrackers and some other stuff mm-hmm. that you should talk to her about.
They are so vividly red and crimson, mm-hmm. these ones that I saw. And I just want a couple. But you mark my words, you will see some red and white hostas there. I was like, wow, those are gorgeous.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with the hostas.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Because they will get out of
yeah.
hand quickly.
Right. Well, I'll sell them.
Hostas for sale.
To pay
Good
for my
luck.
New HVAC system.
Yeah, you can go buy Bitcoin with it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to give Greg a chance to convince me. That
well,
maybe, I mean, I would not be unwilling to take a tiny bit of risk on a small investment, but my whole instinct, my whole instinct is that if I can't touch it and feel it and crinkle it and
right.
jingle it in my pocket, I don't really want it.
Yeah, it's like an investment in fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
That but again, I know nothing about it. So
I don't either. That's
I'm
why
looking
we had
forward
him back.
To the education.
Yeah. So Greg Johns is going to join us next. He's from Stackstone Wealth, and he was here last month, and we asked him to mm-hmm. come back and explain cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or whatever to us because it was going to take a whole segment, and we didn't have it. But I just don't know anything about it, and
right.
it makes me nervous.
Well, and he's a smart guy, and he really.
Well, it's what
really
he does
a good
a
job explaining.
Right.
You know,
right.
makes it sound real.
So I feel like he's going to do a good job of that. And then at the end, we can decide if we're going to take the $50 extra money that we have, which we have to split, and buy some crypto or Bitcoin or something.
Something.
Right. I don't know. I just don't understand it. So he's going to explain it.
Yeah, well. Let's find out together.
I mean, Godspeed, Greg.
Good luck getting us
to understand this. So anyway, Greg Johns from Stackstone Wealth is coming up next. We're going to talk about crypto, Bitcoin, stuff like that right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Okay, let's talk about money. Actually, it's not really money. Greg Johns is with us from Stackstone. I always feel like you're going to. So we talked last time you were here and we said, you can come back because we want you to talk about crypto and Bitcoin and all those kinds of things. And I was just saying off the air, I like my money so I can touch it. And like if I wanted to withdraw it and touch it with my fingers, I
could. Makes it real.
Right. And you can't do that with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and stuff like that. And so how do you even start getting into something like that? Like, don't you still have to use money to buy it and like an exchange rate or something? Or like I have no idea. You're laughing at me.
Well, if you currently.
But I'm normal because
right.
I don't know anything about
you're
it. Right.
If you currently don't own crypto, you have to use dollars to buy it.
Right.
And if you do own crypto and you see it go up, let's say it goes up 1,000%. You know, you bought Bitcoin at, you know, $8,000 a unit and now it's worth $80,000 and you're so happy. At the end of the day, you can't go buy a car.
Right.
Bitcoin. You can't go put a down payment on a house with Bitcoin. You can't even buy your groceries with Bitcoin.
So what's the use?
So really, it's a speculative asset.
Sounds like this is going to be a short interview.
Yeah, it's funny, though. It really is a speculative asset. It has, you know, almost like collector coins. You know, when I talk to people about, you know, what's the equivalent of Bitcoin or these crypto assets, and I say, well, it's like a collector coin. The U.S. Mint made this coin out of silver. It's got about $3 of silver in it, but it sells on the open market for $100,000 because it's rare, quote
Somebody
unquote.
Wants it.
Rare. Somebody wants it. So the value of these crypto assets, how they're traded on the market, is simply because people think it has value. It's like how in the 90s there was a big craze with baseball cards.
Right.
And
yes, I still have like 7,000 baseball cards.
Yeah, and they ran up in price like crazy.
No, they did not.
For a small period of time, they did. There was like a
you got at the tail end of it.
We missed that window.
There was a 3-4 year period where it was a craze, and same with Beanie Babies. There's a 2-3 year period where there was this craze, and
Cabbage Patch Dolls.
You know, a $2 Beanie Baby became worth $200 just because there was a craze around it being rare.
Right.
And Bitcoin is kind of rare in a sense that there's a limited quantity of it. It doesn't expand. They don't create new Bitcoin tokens or Bitcoin units. So it creates this sense of limited supply and rarity,
okay,
kind of like how there is with gold. But I think Warren Buffett put this really well. He said, would you rather own a company that generates revenue mm-hmm. and income and pays dividends, or would you rather have just a pile of gold that sits there and doesn't do anything? And it could go up and down in the markets just depending on people's sentiment.
Right.
You know, there's no fundamental basis for why gold should be worth $3,000, $5,000, $1,000 an ounce.
Right.
And there's no fundamental basis for why Bitcoin should be worth $1 or $100,000 per unit.
The only difference I'm seeing is gold you can touch. You can,
uh-huh.
It's going to hold value. Bitcoin is,
how am I supposed
some,
to touch
so
it?
So I'm going to get it.
Is it on paper? Is it a certificate? Is it?
So if I have $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, what do I do with it?
Well, what you really do with it is you just hold it in a digital wallet. You have to have a digital wallet to own crypto assets. And you might have heard of the company Coinbase. Coinbase is like a crypto exchange.
Okay.
So you set up an account there like you would online with Fidelity or TD Ameritrade or Charles Schwab to have an investment account.
Okay.
But these accounts, they basically just give you what's called this digital wallet. And you bring in funds electronically, dollars, right? Digital dollars.
Right.
And then you exchange those digital dollars for crypto.
So then can you ever exchange your crypto for dollars?
Oh, yeah. You can exchange your crypto for dollars, but they'll charge you a transaction fee. So it's not free. Everyone says, it's free and decentralized.
Oh, nothing's free.
No.
It's not free. Either. Why would anyone put the money into running that for free?
Your digital dollars are worth nothing unless somebody's willing to give you dollars for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an asset as an investment. It's based upon the next person being willing to pay more than what you paid for it.
Okay,
and that's fine because that's all investments. All
right.
investments
well,
in the world
say, yeah.
are the next person needs to be willing to pay more than what you paid for it in order for you to get a return on it.
So, for instance, if my husband was listening right now. The only way the motorcycles are worth any money is if somebody's willing to pay more for them than you did. And when you tack on the 150 years of storage unit fees that I've been paying for all of the motorcycles that are, quote, money in the bank, they're not. Just a side note. Sorry. Proceed.
Well, those storage costs are basically a part of your depreciation of the asset.
And the difference I see in that is... Let's use the motorcycles. That's something that can be used.
Well.
You know, but the Bitcoin, if all of a sudden people go, it's not worth it, what do you got?
Right.
A digital wallet?
Isn't that a collapse? Like,
and the thing is, like, Bitcoin gets mined, and that's why they call Bitcoin digital gold. Companies, a lot of like private companies, for instance, they're creating these mining facilities where they'll buy like an old power plant in upstate New York and they'll put a bunch of servers in there. And these servers will essentially complete problems in the digital universe. They'll solve problems and they'll confirm transactions. And what happens is that the computer solves this equation or solves this problem. And then... whoever, whatever entity they solve the problem for, that entity pays them in Bitcoin. And then the owner of that computer has a digital wallet that receives the Bitcoin. And it's just a really strange thing how this works, because it takes a lot of energy just to mine the Bitcoin. So some of these ventures have really not been that profitable, because you have to use a ton of electricity to run all these servers and run all these computers and complete all these equations. And really what it all essentially exists upon is this technology called blockchain.
Okay.
And blockchain is just a digital ledger system. But you've seen that in almost every major company in the world has its own digital ledger system.
Right.
Blockchain is really open. It's like an open source type of platform, and any computer in the world can get access to it. And all these computers will essentially confirm the transactions that are taking place on this blockchain network, this ongoing, ever-evolving, you know, digital ledger platform. And then those computers that verify these transactions or solve equations, they get compensated in Bitcoin. But it's really a convoluted thing, because, you know, it operates at the discretion of governments, essentially.
Right.
They always say, you know, the proponents say, oh, it's decentralized. It gives access to financial resources to more people. I don't understand that personally, because I don't see how a poor person who can go up a bank, go open a bank account down the street at a local bank for free and put $100 in it.
Right.
How are they getting more access to financial services by having to pay $88,000 for a unit of Bitcoin? I don't understand that. And then it's also not as practical to use in real world applications to buy goods and services.
Right.
So and at the end of the day,
it's like fantasy money.
Well, that's kind of what
it's
I'm
like, your fantasy football
feel
team.
Like it's you're paying. You're paying with Bitcoin it kind of sounds like it doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not going to get my digital backhoe, my digital dozer, and go mining.
It's not like I get like quarter looking pieces of money.
Right. So
it's just in a computer.
But I think the proponents, the big thing they like to hit on is how, yes, this digital currency, it operates in the digital world and it's quote unquote, you know, a limited supply. They have a good point, though, in comparing it to a fiat currency like the U.S. dollar.
Okay.
Because the U.S. dollar essentially comes out of thin air, and it has value simply because people think it does. Now,
that's true.
Now, when you think about this, the U.S. government has $36 trillion of debt and is running up $1.5+ trillion deficits every year. Yet, people still seem to have plenty of confidence in the U.S. dollar and the government's ability to pay its debts. So that's the Bitcoin proponents and the crypto proponents. They make a very good point there, because it's all about relative. It's like being like the nicest house in a bad neighborhood.
It's perception.
It's all perception.
Right.
Yeah, it's all perception.
Right. Is crypto the same? How is cryptocurrency different from Bitcoin?
Well, Bitcoin is a type of cryptocurrency, but I don't like calling it a cryptocurrency, and I don't like calling any of these crypto products currencies, because they're not like currencies. They're more like assets. They exist like assets. They trade like assets. They behave like assets. They don't really behave like actual currency.
Right. Huh.
And so, I mean, ultimately, a currency is just something you use to exchange goods and services. In the bartering system for thousands of years, people would trade a bucket of water for, you know, a bag of grain, you know, and then governments introduced currencies. But at least, you know, for thousands of years, those currencies were like real pieces of silver, real pieces of copper. And now, you know, we have fiat currency. We eliminated the gold standard in the United States in 1971, and we've had a fiat currency ever since. So the government can print whatever and whenever it wants, in theory, devaluing our currency at will. But again, the market is really dictated by the consumer confidence, widespread consumer confidence.
We're talking with Greg Johns from Stackstone Wealth. I still don't understand.
I was going to say I'm more confused now than when I started.
But I mean, I'm not, because it's on paper and I get it, and you never. But again, you have the old school people like us that are like, I want my cash.
Where does it come from? Because I'm envisioning this. I have a handful of Bitcoin. What do you give me for it?
And it's not.
You know, there's nothing there.
No, it's like I have a piece of paper that says I have some Bitcoin. So what's the point?
The point is, in my opinion, it's to buy into this idea of the next generation of technology and the next generation of civilization. Hmm. The people, the Satoshi, this guy, that's his alias. He created Bitcoin. He created this digital blockchain ledger and created the Bitcoin tokens. His anonymous writings and the early proponents of Bitcoin and other crypto assets, they just believe that getting economic transactions away from governments and centralized banks is a huge, huge benefit to society. And I get the philosophy of it, like getting, you know, decentralizing this, quote unquote.
Right.
But at the end of the day, this all happens on systems that governments can take over.
Right.
And can control. And if a major government decides, yeah, Bitcoin is a threat to our currency, it's a threat to our bonds, it's a threat to our debt holders, it's a threat to our national security, and they pass a bill that bans it, I mean, before they even pass the bill, if NBC News releases a story at 4 a.m. that the White House and some top senators and the Department of Justice all had a meeting at midnight to discuss banning crypto assets, by the time you wake up, the crypto assets in your digital wallet could be worth zero.
Right, right.
Well,
except that if MSNBC says this, it's probably a lie.
So. Right, no one's listening anyways.
Could also be double.
But
yeah.
Who insures the Bitcoin? So
nobody.
If my bank gets robbed, it's insured through the government, right?
Yeah.
The money that's taken.
Well,
it's
the
insured.
FDIC.
Well,
right.
Yeah. In theory.
Up right, to a certain amount,
but
and maybe.
But if there is a digital thief and they steal my Bitcoin, where's that insured through? Or is it just gone?
No, not insured at all. I mean, you lose all of it.
So there's a big
difference. I've seen, like, even recently stories about people who, you know, they had $88,000 worth of Bitcoin and one click of a button and it was gone.
Yeah. Well, and the criminal element is getting smarter and smarter. That it scares me about AI and a bunch of other stuff. You know, how much worse can it get? A lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. The theory is that it's safe because, you know, nobody can crack the encryption of the Bitcoin ledger. But what if AI gets so powerful that AI can just do it?
Exactly.
What if the Chinese government or the Russian government just sick AI and hack into this ledger and just like completely screw the whole thing up?
After 30,
there'll be no way to track it down and reimburse people.
You know what they can't get to? Cash.
Right. Well, I was going to say, after 40 years in and around law enforcement, I don't believe anything is, you know,
foolproof,
completely safe. If there's people with desire, they will rob, steal, whatever.
Yeah,
nothing's
and you have
safe.
No recourse.
I don't know how you make anything safe.
So what do people do? They, like you said, they like the people that invest in this or kind of play with it, really, they know full well that whatever they put into it, they may not ever get back, right?
No, most people think that it's going to just keep going up and up and up. That's the FOMO, the fear of missing out. They see all the momentum. And then the people who didn't get in early, they're like, wow, I know this friend of mine who put in $10,000 5 years ago, and now it's worth $500,000. Man. And then they start envisioning, wow, what I could do with that kind of money if I did that.
Yeah, but is it real money?
You have to be when you want to jump into investing, quote unquote, in crypto assets, you have to put in an amount of money that you're willing to see go to zero.
Right.
You should invest the amount of money that
you can afford to lose.
You can afford to lose, like going to the casino. Like,
right.
I'm going to go to the casino
and
with $400.
You have better odds.
If I lose $400 at the casino, oh, well, I had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's kind of how you should approach Bitcoin, because there's less fundamental support for it than even gold and silver, because gold and silver actually have real world utility applications to make certain products.
And they exist.
Yeah.
Right.
They're tangible.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I keep. The more you talk about it, that's what I keep thinking about more and more. Is like you said, you want to feel your money. There's nothing there to feel. It's almost like it's imaginary. And with the hopes of people keep stuffing money into it to eventually make it worth something.
And even like if you have your Bitcoin or crypto assets stored on like a hard drive, let's say, There's a story about a guy who literally had like $1 billion of Bitcoin on a hard drive that he accidentally threw away and it went to a landfill.
And he searched the landfill.
And he couldn't find it.
Nope.
And, you know, all it takes is just some, you know, corruption of your hard drive and you're screwed.
Yeah.
So you know? Like, do people come and say, I want you to help me invest it? Like, do you guys even do anything like that?
We do not place our clients with crypto assets.
Yeah.
We educate our clients on crypto assets, and we encourage them to really do their homework and understand, you know, how they work, why they work the way they do. Understand that they trade like assets, but there's no fundamental cash flows involved with them. There's no tangible utility application for most of these. It's very speculative, and we encourage our clients to just really consider those risks and to approach it with a lot of caution and think of it as a speculative play where you're hoping to hit a big home run if like a craze catches on with the crypto asset that you buy. But we do not recommend any specific crypto assets for people to buy.
So there's different categories like stock.
Yeah, there are. I brought this little list with
me. Oh, yeah. Actually. Okay. I want to hear about that because I thought it. Like, I didn't know that either. This is like we're all learning together because, well, I mean, just by what you've already said, I already know enough. But I mean, it's just, but again, I don't have that need to take that risk.
Well,
I
started laughing because I'm thinking about, all right, I own stock in a Packers. It's not worth anything. I bought property on Moon. That's not worth anything. And I got crypto, which may or may not be worth anything.
Do you have property on the moon?
No, I do not.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I bought my husband one of those little 12, you know, 1 foot by 1 foot patches in Scotland to make him a lord or whatever.
Oh, nice.
For his birthday.
So
yeah.
Does he go mow the grass once in a while?
He does not.
Be quick.
And I do not call him Sir Ty either. Yeah.
I believe that.
As a matter of fact, 100%. I burnt the certificate after he mentioned that. I said, I'm taking this present away. But... No, like, okay, so tell us, because I guess you can buy, like, I know this is probably isn't right, but like Ford crypto or Chevy crypto or whatever, something to that effect, right? Or,
yeah, really, they're different types of assets. Like in the stock world, you would own Ford stock. That would be an industrial stock. You would have Microsoft, which would be a technology stock. In the crypto world, you have utility tokens. These utility tokens are like Ripple or Ethereum, and they serve specific functions on their respective blockchains. So there's companies and people and all sorts of entities out there that will use this digital ledger network that carries the Ripple tokens or carries the Ethereum tokens. And again, it's just really computers verifying certain transactions, computers solving problems and equations and algorithms and things like that. And then they get rewarded with these tokens. Then there's transactional tokens. These are tokens designed to be used as a payment method. And Bitcoin is a transactional token. It's really just a payment method. It's like a digital dollar almost, but it's not tied to the U.S. government or the Canadian or any government.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a digital currency that trades and behaves like an asset.
So the first one sounds a little bit like Candy Crush.
Agreed.
Saying,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You clear the board, you get points.
Right.
Kind of like Roblox, if you're familiar with Roblox.
Right.
If you have kids, grandkids, little kids you know in your life that use Roblox, you use dollars to buy Robux.
Right.
And then you use the Robux to buy things for your characters or buy games. Very similar to kind of like these utility tokens on that platform. Yeah.
Why would it just sounds to me like another video game challenge type it's virtual money and not like you could never really, like you said, if somebody, I bought this for $10,000, now it's worth $80,000. It's only worth $80,000 if you can find somebody to sell it to for $80,000, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, this happened in 2022. Bitcoin lost more than half of its value at one point that year from January 1st. Now, the stock market was down 18.5%, and Bitcoin lost over 50% of its value at one point. So it's if you have a hard time seeing a traditional investment portfolio or your 401k going up and down 10-15%, try seeing something go up and down 40-50%.
Oh my God.
In very short periods of time.
I would cry.
It really And then the whole thing is, you know, you have to be a disciplined investor, right? You know, when you see things go down, you don't panic. When you know you own something that has real value and creates value, you just stay in. Mm-hmm. You actually maybe buy low when things, you know, pull back a little bit, if you have a little bit of extra cash to deploy into a portfolio. But with Bitcoin, very tough to see it go down 50% in a short period of time. And then when you're making the case, oh, I should stay in because this is so valuable and creates so much value. But when you look at, when you look for those fundamentals, how does it create value? How does it create cash flows? There's nothing there.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to stay disciplined.
And if you see them.
Right.
Because you don't, there's no reason for you to believe it should go up other than people getting into the hype again.
Right. I mean, that's just scary.
Yeah. And how do you bail if it's starting to lose? All right, I'm out. No, you're not.
No, you're not. Because nobody will buy it.
No one's buying it.
Right. Yeah. That just sounds scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and I think that, do you find people who are worried about the stock market right now, which they shouldn't be, by the way, for God's sake, stop watching the stock market every day. Are they maybe saying, oh my gosh, I don't want to, like, this traditional way of investing is not for me. I want to go out on a limb here. I mean, are you having discussions like that and you know, trying to convey to people that you just need to calm down, like calm down, give it a few months. You know, you always have to do that when we have new administration anyway. Everything's going to kind of tumble around a little bit until it settles. But you can't panic. And I feel like some people are looking to it thinking, like you said, oh my God, this is going to save our financial life. And it's not. And they're only investing in it because they're panicking, thinking they need to get away from traditional investments.
Yeah. I you know, there's just a lot of behavioral finance elements that, you know, we as advisors are always trying to understand and then manage. And then we act like, you know, educators, and we act like therapists a lot of time. And life coaches, because you can use these same principles of patience and just knowing what you know. You know, we need to understand what it is we can count on and what it is we do know.
Right.
And when things get bad in the headlines, or there's emotion involved in seeing, you know, things happen in the stock market, that when we know we own really good quality investments that generate cash flows and generate value and efficiencies in our society, well, we're not going to pull out now. I mean, it makes no sense.
Right.
If anything, if we have a little bit of extra cash buildup, and fortunately our clients did, because late last year we were having those conversations with our clients. Hey, now's a good time to maybe pull a little bit off the table, take some of these gains, set them aside. We think that we're going to have some choppiness coming up. Mm-hmm. And the reason we thought that is because valuations got so high. It's not about prices.
No.
It's not about prices. It's about valuations, which means how expensive is a stock or an investment relative to its earnings.
Right, right.
So if the earnings multiple, if the price relative to its earnings becomes really high, that's a good time to maybe take your foot off the gas. If your cash is low, time to replenish your cash. Mm-hmm. Get out of some of those, you know, overvalued investments. Wait for them to pull back more reasonably. And replenish your cash positions when your cash positions get low.
Well, everything goes up and down, and it corrects itself. And so we were talking, too, off the air before we came on, that people are talking about Tesla stock and how they're trying to affect, you know, Elon Musk, and they're either mad at him or they love him or whatever. Right. And the fact is that you can kind of do a lot of things, but it's very hard to really affect somebody's value like that. And and he's, you know, and they keep saying, oh, it's falling apart, it's going down, it's crashing, Tesla's going to crash. No, it's so I found this article. It said a year ago, Tesla's stock was in the 170s. It rose to the low 200s, then took an artificial post-election bump. Now it's slowly returning to roughly where it was prior to the election, except that we're talking about the low 200s again. We're not talking about, you know, the 170s. You know, this backlash and all of this, it's those kind of things. You can try it, But that is very difficult to affect as far as the stock market is concerned. You could, burning Teslas, trust me, it's not helping. As a matter of fact, when you set one on fire, you do know they just go buy another one.
Yeah.
So you're just making more money for Elon, and that's just not working. But they're doing just fine. Everything at some point goes up and down. Have you ever worked with a stock that just went up and up and up and never saw any kind of decrease in value or anything like that? Probably not. I'm going to guess the answer is no.
Never.
Never.
And I had a client a few weeks ago. He said, I love the strategy that I'm in. It's done so well since I started. I want to push more money in. And I said, no. I go, because it's done so well.
Mm-hmm.
The prices of a lot of the companies we have in your portfolio have gone up too much too fast.
Right.
So I don't want you to push any cash in right now. And that was back in the middle of February mm-hmm. when markets were at an all-time high.
Right.
Then the markets came down, 9-10% almost on the mm-hmm. S&P 500, which is almost technically a correction. And then he calls us back and says, hey, I want to put in that $200,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, now it's down 9%.
Right.
Let's put in half of it. But I still feel that there is some significant, headwinds out there.
Right.
A little uncertainty with the tariffs, a little uncertainty with what Doge is doing and how much, waste they can find. That's a really big deal. I don't think people understand how challenging our country's fiscal situation is. It's actually very challenging. And, when the markets are really expensive and we have a really questionable fiscal situation, now is not the time to be overconfident.
Right.
Push some money in when the markets go down a bit, when your portfolio goes down a bit, that's fine. But, for literally 3-4 months, I was telling people, now it's not the time to push cash
right.
in.
Just don't do anything.
Just let your cash collect 4.5% in the money market until we see some choppiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be time to get back in. And with Tesla, after the election, it just shot so far up and it was insane.
Right.
And right now, even after this quote unquote crash we've had over the past couple months in Tesla, it's still trading at a ridiculously expensive valuation.
It was at 235 on Thursday.
Yeah.
Haven't looked today.
It's trading at over 100 right. times earnings, which in our
right.
world, that's very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it just came back down to where it should have been all along. It should have never gone up the way it did
right.
because people, the market was essentially, all the retail investors out there were saying, I'm happy paying a price today that Tesla should be at 5 years from now after it grows its profits. Threefold.
Well,
so when you pay a really expensive price today, that company needs to absolutely blow its profits out of the water moving forward,
right?
So that its profits actually catch up with the current stock price. So your expected returns moving forward when you buy in at a very expensive price are going to be lower,
right?
You want to buy at a better
or slower
Yeah,
right.
That's yeah.
And so I've never been a big Tesla stock fan because it's very volatile. It goes up and down, and it's been trading at a very high valuation for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't even own any of it myself.
But you didn't set it on fire.
No. The reason why I don't own it is because I bought it, 8-9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to double my money. I sold it at the time. And then, after I sold it, it ran up so much. And I said, I don't want to buy back in because it's so expensive.
Right.
Now,
right.
I've been kind of wrong on that. It's continued to go up. But I just stick to the fundamentals. And, if I miss a couple of home runs in my career, it's not a big deal as long as I'm hitting doubles and triples,
right.
Along the way.
On a consistent basis. Well,
yeah.
And you got to trust your gut, right? I mean,
yeah.
You just have to trust your instinct. And you know what the mathematics and the algorithms are of history and what you anticipate happening with a particular stock or a group of, mm-hmm. of stocks. And so, to step outside of that, I feel like would be even more of a risk than maybe what it's labeled as. So, I agree with you, but you cannot use emotion when you are handling financial situations and investments like that. You cannot, and it amazes me how people, like you said, don't, oh my gosh, Elon Musk is finding all this waste and fraud, and I'm going to, you know, take it out on him, and I'm going to sell my Tesla stock. Okay. He could not care less.
Right.
You know, like that. None of that. And so the emotion part of it, you got to leave that at home, because that can cost you a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And thank God for people like you who are like, okay, wait, just, you know, this is my knowledge. This is my experience.
Don't jump
this
off
is my
the ledge
education.
Yet.
Right. Right.
No, if you have some stuff that is dramatically and wildly overvalued and very, very speculative, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is something worth being concerned about when mm-hmm. you're assessing your portfolio. But, you know, if you're holding companies with really, really good fundamentals yeah. and competitive advantages and, you know, not just companies, but any investment that mm-hmm. has really, really good projected cash flows and reliable cash flows moving forward. You know, there's no reason to panic about the markets going down in the meantime if you're right. going to be holding these things, you know, for the next 10, 15, 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to stick with the fundamentals, and you really want to keep your emotions in check and just make sure that whether it's you on your own or meeting with your financial consultant or advisor at least once a year and reviewing everything. You just really need to focus on the fundamentals, focus on the cash flows, focus yeah. on, you know, the risk level that you're taking. And if everything's in line and you're well-balanced, well-diversified, and you're in investments that are on very solid fundamental footing, there's no reason to, you know, bend over to your emotions right. in those cases.
Well, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
If you find yourself getting emotional about it, that's the last point in time that you should be calling somebody and saying make changes, because you're not making the decision based on good information.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am learning a little bit about it. I've never had like a huge investment before, and so like, you know, I'm just kind of learning a little bit about this, and I know that like my dad was very conservative, right, with financially, and that boded very well for him. And he never taught me any of it, and so I'm learning, you know, just as anybody else would be. And I can see where people who, you know, just, you know, whatever, won the lottery, got an inheritance, you know, came into some, however it happened, would be like, oh my gosh, I can double this with crypto or Bitcoin or whatever, and blah, 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 blah. And just please don't, you know, jump ship like that. Just talk to somebody
right.
and never do it yourself, right? Call, yeah. you have an advisor. Please have an advisor. Don't go online to these companies, because you don't have the experience. You don't have the history knowing what things do and don't do. And
yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah, and most of these online outfits, they of course are always going to pitch their proprietary products and services to mm-hmm. make it
sound great.
They're not going to be truly independent and truly unbiased.
Right.
And, you know, that's our job is to really, you know, look out there in the whole universe, see all the opportunities, see all the risks and threats that are out there, and to be as objective minded as we can possibly be as we, you know, provide that guidance and advice. And it also needs to be tailored to a person's situation. And an advisor will also, you know, get to know their client enough to where they know their personality.
Right.
And know how to coach them through the ups and downs of, you know, markets and politics and the economy, all
right.
that kind of stuff. Because behavioral finance is a huge component of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many psychology courses do you have to take?
Well, I've only taken a few, but, and it was a while ago.
But you have to. Yeah. It's part of it. Like, to
you do.
Be able to read people and know how to talk them off that ledge. And it's like an insurance agent, though. Like, you shouldn't be going out and getting insurance from an 800 number. You also shouldn't be going out and buying stocks and bonds and crypto and Bitcoin
right.
or whatever you want to call it through an 800 number or a .com.
It's a pretty major investment. If
yeah.
it goes sideways, it could affect the rest
cost
of your life.
Cost you a lot
right.
of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the wealthy, they will get rich sometimes by hitting home runs. The rags to riches stories and the self-made stories, that's when people usually hit a couple home runs here and there,
mm-hmm.
you know, early in life or at the midpoint in life with their investments. But once people get, you know, once they accumulate that wealth, they keep their wealth by being a little bit more reliable, a little bit more predictable, a little bit more conservative. And that doesn't mean they get really boring, but it means that they don't allocate significant percentages
right.
of their wealth to speculative investments.
Right.
They just try to keep it more simplified and they try to, you know, make their portfolio a little bit more reliable and predictable moving forward. You know, hey, I'd rather know that over time I'm going to get 8-9% a year than try to get 25% a year and then all of a sudden one day I've lost a third of my wealth.
Right, you have zero.
Right. And how often do these home runs happen?
They, you know what, they don't happen that much. I mean, you look at the tech bubble when the internet really emerged in the 90s.
Yeah.
And you saw this huge bubble. It took a long time for the NASDAQ to recover with all the tech companies that got hit. And anything with the name .com in it was just huge. And really, it was like one out of 95 companies back then are still in existence today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were big companies back then that, you know, really, you know, just soared and people made a lot of money in their portfolios until one day it was all gone.
Right.
They either got back to where they entered or they ended up losing relative to where they entered. Mm-hmm. And that's because most of those companies were speculative and they weren't generating cash flows. And a lot of people say that today there's a parallel with AI. There's a big parallel with, oh, AI is like the tech bubble. We're worried about the tech bubble from the 90s. And I don't see it that way.
No.
Because a lot of the AI is being used to make things more efficient, there's a lot of companies out there that make or sell artificial intelligence platforms, and only a handful of them will truly be big time blue chip winners moving forward.
Okay, which ones? No,
I wish I could say that.
Out comes the crystal ball.
Get the crystal ball, Greg.
We have a few in our strategies, but I can't say that on the air, unfortunately.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's what we need is
joking.
Financial police to come and arrest me.
No.
Well, so, they'll just arrest me. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, in that case.
Never mind. So the answer is?
Nah, nobody's going to jail today.
Nope, not here.
So, Greg, how do we get in touch with you when we need advice? Because, again, like, this show preaches about insurance agents all the time. Like, please stop not having an agent to go to bat and advocate for you and help manage things. This is the exact same thing. Don't do financial investing, buying stocks, all those kinds of things. Try not to do those blind or without an advisor because, it could so cost you. And you don't even realize that it did.
Well, who are the people that know?
Right.
How do we even play that role where we help people identify what insurance needs they do have?
Right.
You know, so I don't really deal with insurance directly myself, but, you know, pretty much anybody with kids needs some sort of term life insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, so sometimes it's good to just have an independent wealth advisor who just objectively looks at your situation, and then we'll refer people to different strategies, and you know who they go to find to help them with those needs is fine. But we really serve as like a quarterback of that situation. We like to bring together the insurance people, the legal people, the accounting and tax people, kind of huddle everyone up around you and create this little like team.
Right.
Create this family office environment around you and just kind of quarterback the situation from a high level. And then our specialty is the financial planning and investments.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just part of what your life needs.
Right.
You actually need a lot of things like insurance and a good CPA and good legal counsel when you need it.
Yeah.
So when they need that, how
do they get in touch with you?
They can give us a call at our office here in Lake Geneva at 262-728-4000. Or they can just look us up on social media. We're on Facebook and LinkedIn. And you can also just find us with the simple Google search as well, right?
Yes, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Greg.
You're very welcome.
I have been really looking forward to this because I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. Like, I wonder if he's going to come in and really, like, I didn't read up on it or anything because I wondered if you were going to come in and really, like, open our eyes to something that we, as old people, knew nothing about, because I feel like it is a younger generation thing. And I mean, I don't know. I just don't have a lot of confidence in not having cash in my hand.
Grab your digital passport and go for a digital trip.
You shouldn't feel bad because
I don't have time for vacation.
Even the crypto experts don't really explain it very well.
Well, you did.
Because, well, you need
to,
I tried.
You need to teach them. That's
yeah,
what
I
it
would
is.
Say.
Yeah.
Kind of taught us.
Well, when you need help, call Stackstone, like you said. Google it. They can just Google Stackstone Wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it comes up. I think I've done that before to make sure it works. I never say that without doing it, so I'm sure I have. But thank you for coming back and talking to us about this, because I think a lot of people didn't really know what it is, and you did. You explained it like I get it. And if I get it, Tom probably gets it.
I get it.
I just try to get it enough.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's,
well, I got
it
more
works.
Of it than I did before I came in.
Right. It works.
Before I came in, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
No, I kind of get it.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. That was perfect. We really needed that explanation. I really believe we did. So anyway,
agreed.
Coming up next, the best part of the show, the besides part. Greg's interview, Just Stop.
Just Stop.
We'll be right back on Lake 96.1.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Stop it.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop right there.
Stop! Stop it!
Just stop. Just stop talking.
I want to thank you for staying awake for the whole show, almost. You've had a rough week.
I have. It's
teaching will
over.
Get that. Teaching will make that happen.
Well, and then the weather changes and everything, and work at home, and, you know, it's been a long week.
Plus, it's exhausting the half hour it took us to take down those two trees. That started out your week.
I don't know if it was exhausting.
It wasn't.
It was kind of fun.
Well, no, and Ty was actually ended up being sorry that he missed it, because I said, you do realize that he just like took some branches off and then backed the trailer up to the tree and just dropped the tree on the trailer.
Right.
And he was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, listen,
they weren't that big.
Less work,
right.
More play.
Yeah.
While Lincoln and I had a snowball fight.
Yes,
so.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm underneath the tree cutting away and looking over going, they're having all the fun.
Yep, yep.
But that was all right. I was kind of having fun, too.
Yeah, he was. Well, you like to destroy things.
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So that was good.
That's a fact.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about Elon Musk and the Tesla stock and stuff with Greg, but all these people that are setting these things on fire and doing all of that, you really just need to stop.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to go buy another one.
Well, not like, only that, what's your message?
Nah, and
you know,
I'm
you're upset.
Right.
You didn't get your way. Somebody took your toys. I mean,
nobody
really.
Took anything from any of these people.
No. In fact, we're getting it back, hopefully.
Right.
But instead of, you know, being intelligent about it, you're going to go destroy somebody else's property. You need to go to jail and pay for restitution for the damage.
Right.
You need to pay for it. This is ridiculous.
They'll be held accountable now, and they're too dumb to remember that Teslas have like all those cameras on them, and
But so, I just, you know what? If you're having an issue with something, there's a way to handle it.
So again, you've got this huge, huge crowd, which is far more people than any extreme group on the planet. That are just here to say, can we use some common sense?
Well, I think they, you know, and you're right, 100%. And they spoke on November 5th.
Well, yes, they did.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of Elon Musk, he saved the astronauts.
Yes.
Which I don't care what anybody says. He offered and was turned down by the previous administration. Even the astronauts said that. Like, we even knew that he offered because they were asked questions, like technical questions, if they could make it. And the administration said no, turned him down. So, okay, fine, whatever. They're back now. Nobody wants to applaud Elon, which I think also people are very intimidated by him because he's smart on a scale that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So,
obviously.
Yeah. But anyway, so the astronauts. The question has been out there, do they get paid extra
they
for
should.
Being in space?
They've been on overtime for 9 months.
No.
They don't?
No.
Huh. That's
well,
not hardly fair.
Their salary is a little over $150,000 a year, and I guess it doesn't really matter what planet you're working on or not on the planet at all. They get a $5 a day stipend, like per diem.
Mm-hmm.
So that equals about $1,500 a piece extra. That they'll get. Can you imagine being stuck for nine months?
Not only that, everything is recorded.
Yeah.
So not only are you stuck, but you got to try and keep your composure. you know,
unplanned.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can get psyched up to be up there for a week.
Yes.
But for almost a year, when you didn't expect it. I mean, at first that might sound like fun, but about 2 weeks into it, you're like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Nope. Want to go home.
Oh yeah. I couldn't imagine. I was in Korea for a year and probably 3 months in, I was like, yeah, okay. I've had enough.
Right. Time to go
home. I've seen it, yep. You know, and I wasn't trapped in a tin can. I was moving about
floating
the country.
In the air.
Right.
Right.
Having a good time with more than one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. My God. I can't imagine what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
The emotional strain on them has to be off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was able to watch the splashdown and with all the parachutes and everything, and then the dolphins came up. There was a pod of dolphins.
Oh, really?
That greeted them basically, and they were swimming around the capsule and everything. It was really very cool. It was very positive. You know, everybody was cheering, and they showed them getting out of the capsule. So they lift the capsule up onto the recovery boat, and then they get them out of the capsule, and they brought them all out, and they have to go onto a stretcher. It's required because, you know, gravity is different when you've been in it. Everybody had smiles on their faces, and they just were so excited to be. But those two had huge, like, they did not want to sit on those stretchers. They wanted to run to their families.
Right.
But it was fun to watch because what an incredible mission.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Well, just think about the outpouring of emotions that they were probably trying to control.
Although.
Because, again, they got to remain professional. That's like Hollywood cool, but it's real because it really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
It was cool.
It's amazing.
It was very, very cool. So stop hating on Elon. Just stop.
Well, just stop hating, period.
He was your hero a year ago.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, put the cuckoo back in the clock. Let's get back to work.
And I absolutely agree that it's domestic terrorism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're borderlining 96 minutes, so we got to go.
No, we got that point one to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. You really need to think about it.
I have.
We can shorten the songs up a little bit and still fill that. Just a little.
So you went the whole day?
No.
9 hours.
All day.
Oh, we could sit here and talk for 9 hours.
Well, we could. Yeah, we could. I think we've proven that a few times.
Yeah.
We
probably won't.
We could just, you know, put on some music, run over to the pub, get a couple liquid lunch or whatever, come back and finish up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in. Sunday. What do I got to do?
Right. What else? I mean, we cut the trees down, so we're done.
Like, yeah.
Seriously, there's really nothing else to do.
No.
I'm just kidding.
There's plenty to do.
Lots. So let's go do it. Well, you got to go home. I'll go do it.
I don't have to go home, but I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. I need to come and help you with something. What?
Amy's making breakfast. Bloody Marys?
That's all for Life Matters. We got to go. See you next week.